Ohio.
And put them down for the mud seal, and then put stringers on them, and then put post ties on them. That way you have to get flat posts in high place.
Yeah.
And they come a flood down there one time, and they water got some places 8 inches above the track. And I wouldn't let anybody else haul logs over a track that you couldn't see.
Uh-huh.
We had a locomotive, and I did it myself. And finally turned it over.
Yeah.
Turned the engine over. But it was the luckiest thing you ever seen that it turned over right close to a big high tree. And I went up and they went up and it put four inch wire cables on it and got it.
4 inch?
Four inch
cable.
Inch cable.
Yeah.
And tied them and guide that tree, all right, and put a block up there and pick that engine up and set it back on the track. And the next thing I had, somebody had a lot against me. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
But they cut the head tree down, and I read.
Oh, that would be a mean trick.
They cut it down and just missed the skidder with it.
Yeah.
And I had to pick that tree up and set it back up.
Why, Phil?
And, oh, I mean, it was a tree that big at the bottom, and it was 81 feet high.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I did that in a day, too. That I picked that damn tree up and set it back up. I take some railroad spikes that they the heads were broke off. When you build railroads, you knock the heads off of them a lot of times. And I drove them in there and left them about that high. And got when I got up to that, picked that tree up and set it down on them mass spikes. That kept it from going anywhere. It's there and then got it. And I had about 300,000 feet of logs that load with that tree. And it was either that or skid them about 500 or 600 feet farther to do it. And I set that tree back there.
He knew who it was and he thought he did. And it was done at Christmas time. And he told him, he said, I'm going to tell you now the next time somebody's in the woods like that. He says, I'm going to kill you. He said, well, I didn't have nothing to do with this time. He said, well, you did or well, you didn't. He said, just as sure as it happens again, I kill you. And you know it never happened, I believe. Now, that was some mean folks met up at Oak Swamp Nine. I mean they were mean.
Well, what'd he done to them?
Hmm? Well, the thing about it, they wanted to run us when we went to that guy. They worried that they said
well,
they couldn't worry
about worth it.
Well,
the thing about it is,
and
guy,
we
this was it. It was during that depression. And the only thing that them people had to live on down there was a little moonshine liquor and some coon hides that they got out of season.
Yeah.
Well, they thought that I was going to would prosecute them for it or try to keep them from catching the coons. Now, they hated to see me leave there worse than anybody
in the
world.
Well, they found out what, but the thing about it, we first moved down there, we had niggas that had been with us for 12, 13, 14 years. Some of them was raised at the mill. And they said we could work the niggas. And
They didn't want no niggas in there.
Well, and they said they had to work all white folks down there. Well, you can get more work out of a nigga than you can a white man.
That kind of work.
That
you
kind of work.
Not now.
And so anyway, that they ran the niggas off that one night. And I mean to tell you, they all would come up that railroad a hard, Mr. Fell. Oh, miss. Mr. Fell. And I was first into the door. And we got all the niggas up there, and even them was living down there then at the mill. And they all stayed in her living room.
Oh, they were? She was.
They all stayed in her living room the rest of the night. And Phil went and talked to one of them men. He'd have to see what the gang said. See, they come in and they have guns, you know, and run them all. And so Phil went to Waycross to see the sheriff. And the sheriff said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Mr. Bouncer says, you would just have to hand it with you.
He said, we got some gun chests that we give them to you. And that's what they said.
And
I told him, I said, that's all right. I got the guns too, and men to use them too.
Well, there wasn't much that he could do, was it?
No.
So Phil, he come back to the mill.
I mean, looking at it from his side.
Phil came back to the mill, and he told me, he says, I've got to stay here to watch these here hands. And he says, you go to Brunswick, to we had a mill down there, and he says, you bring me all those white folks. And so you bring them to me, and says, get what guns you can get. So we had a lot of friends there, so I just got their guns and loaded up all them white men and went back down there. Well, they sent one of their daughters over there to watch me whenever I drove in, and we just unloaded the guns, and I bought $15 worth of ammunition. And when we left that, they got along with the niggas all right. They were just as nice as they could be. But they was going to run that mill if it hadn't have been for our determination. They would have. We could have stayed there.
The thing about it was that they thought that we were going to have a lot to do with the way they lived and all like that. And we didn't.
How long was you there?
I was there.
That long?
Let's see.
I imagine it was longer than that, huh?
I went there in 31 and left in
38.
38.
Not
long, I
was there. Golly, that's a good hunk of.
You have to go get something nice.
I cut.
Is he cutting now?
Yeah. No. Shoot, he ain't cutting down. He's cutting on. It was doing good
though
to quit hearing that smoking. But those
people down
there, look at that.
Is
that right? Huh? There was one man stayed in that swamp 22 years, swamp water. Did you ever see that picture?
No.
And that man had come up to have a logging camp in the woods. He had 15 miles of railroad in that swamp. And he was back in there, and he'd come up to the logging camp where they were logging at.
And he never been out of there in 20 years. That's the worst looking thing you ever seen.
And they made a picture of him.
You couldn't tell where his beard was.
And they had him in it.
Huh?
They had a man that was acting the part that he played in the swamp water.
Yeah.
That picture was made in Oklahoma Swamp, that picture was. And the man that stayed in there 22 years, they had, you know, some character that played that part.
But you saw him. You knew the man.
Oh, the man fell in some. I didn't see. He didn't come out.
Oh.
Because
he'd
kill a man and he'd stay in that swamp, you know, to keep the law from getting.
Well, that's about as good as going to jail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better.
Well, that was why he stayed back.
He finally come out, though. He finally come out.
In 22 years he came out.
22 years he stayed in there. He had a brother, and he would carry him groceries down there and put it in a certain place, and he'd come out there and get it.
But you've seen him?
Oh, yeah, I've seen him.
He come up to the mill?
No, not he come up to the logging camp in the woods.
See, there was 15 miles in that swamp, you know. Back then, he'd come back to the where there's logging at.
Yeah.
But he didn't come out. I never saw him, but the rest of the woods crew saw him.
I've seen him twice. I've seen him once.
You mean just twice in all that time you was there?
Huh?
Just twice you've seen him all that time you was there?
Yeah, twice.
Lord. Well, now that's a story, isn't it?
But now, if you ever see that...
No soap.
No. There was a kind of a... something that grew in there, a bush that they used for soap. Oh, boy, it had lather and all washed and clean your hands, too.
Yeah.
And they use that.
Winter and summer, just think about that.
I tell you,
year round.
There's quite a few things in that in that swamp that you see, and you would think you see the big lakes in there, and then there's creeks and all like that, and you would think that they was bullfrogs in there that weighed 5 pounds, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
There wasn't a darn one in there. Nobody never seen them. Bullfrog in that swamp.
Or lead out, I guess.
I don't know what happened about them. And any other swamp up in Georgia, they would be whippoorwill in there. You wouldn't see a whippoorwill or hear one nowhere in that old swamp.
Did you? I saw them, and every time I saw them, I thought about you. Channel 5. Had some of them half-hour programs from the swamp up there, and it was supposed to be the people that lived in the swamp, the only one you've seen. And he'd tell stories, go through there, sing them old songs and things like that. You didn't see that.
Well, I don't know whether they ever show that swamp
you know,
again, but you see
those people down there.
Oh, this wasn't a movie. This is just on Channel 5. Well,
yeah.
Half hour.
Them people down there, and you know, after we left there, and the government bought it, and all like that, and put some people down there, you know, to game wardens and all like that. They killed one of them. And they questioned them, you know, and they said that it was a Johns that lived in that swamp. They killed him, you know. You read that, didn't you?
No, I never down here then.
Well, it was in all the papers, and it would take them about
I smell, what is that, soap or fire powder?
Powder, soap powder.
Like, oh,
it,
that's
it,
strong.
It is a shower.
Phil said that dog from up yonder come down here a while ago and tried to get me in bed and said, Mush put him out of there.
Oh, yeah. He went up there and Mushy got up and went over and got in his bed.
Well,
what is
that
out.
I said?
Just pushed
and
him out.
Like fertilizer,
yes, it smelled like fertilizer. You didn't put that on him.
No.
But he smells like he's been in something.
Well, he's been into something. Look at that. Look at that. Look at
that.
He's got all
no
that.
Soap
look at that. All
we
on
thought
that.
You was cleaned up for Christmas.
Yeah. We talked too fast.
We sure did, but he's got something on him. Smells like it's rotten.
Yeah. What do you got on you, Butchie? Hey. Come out here, let me see you.
What do you smell like?
Look at that on his tail.
Get on away from him, Marcy. Whoa, God, the dog you stink.
Come out here, Marcy. Let me see about you.
Come here. Come here, Marcy.
Let me see you.
Yeah, he's
get
going
backwards. Oh, get him?
Right.
Oh, me.
They finally kept talking to them people about them big giants and all like that till they come out there and kill that man, you know, and drug him in the swamp. But they finally arrested him, and then they said they done it.
Well, you know, back up there.
The man's brother that they killed waited for me a good long time.
Yeah.
Well, what is that man word? Cruz. Cruz, yeah. Cruz.
Are you looking for company, Christmas?
That's Christmas. I think some of the family's coming down.
That son of ours, they have company over there.
Oh, really?
He's gonna pick up the chair on the 26th and carry them over there. His wife, folks, he's got to go to Charlotte, leaving this evening, isn't he?
No, going to South Carolina.
Where's Charlotte, South Carolina?
No, Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina, my dad told me.
This is,
Well, from the city, say Charlotte. Well, that's North Carolina. But anyway, he's got to go up there and meet his wife's daughter-in-law.
Coming from Germany.
I tell you, it makes it kind of hard on him, too. His daddy made him promise he wouldn't fly that helicopter. He's got a new helicopter over there. And the man that he had to fly, he's mentally disturbed. And so that they've sent him to Virginia, said he hopes he's in Walter Reed Hospital by now. He's retired, a colonel in the service. Paul's been flying. And
I know.
His daddy told him, made him promise then he wouldn't fly that thing if you know spraying with it. For those mosquitoes and things.
Yeah, I'm fouled in the mosquitoes.
I intended to ask him about that stuff. What about that water having red worms in it? Bugs. Heard on the TV. And where it's over there and up and said it was coming from lava. What do you call that stuff where mosquitoes make?
Lava.
Lava. So that's why they said all they could tell them to do, they just had to strain the water. Said because if they are sterilized, anyway, he said what was used would sterilize them, the birds. It wouldn't be no danger in them if they ate them. Now drink them. And I want to ask Paul about that thing.
Oh, he must run across some strange things.
Yeah. But I mean, I heard that over the TV. He didn't tell us nothing about it, but I want to ask him, did they have any trouble like that?
You see, Phil, when you were knocking around, all you knew about it was just what your judgment would tell you.
Yeah.
Well, now you see, when Paul was knocking around, he got all these tests and things.
He said that his job would be a problem if he wasn't a laboratory technician himself. And he said that they don't punish one. And what they do, they get up a lot of these things and have to catch somebody else.
Yeah.
And he said that he does his own laboratory work himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said generally he has to do it at night, but said he does it. And said that that's one thing that these other people didn't know what it was all about and all like that, but said he could take the stuff that he got, what little stuff he said he had, and test it himself and see about it.
Well, now you see, I'll just see that fella that stayed back there in the swamp all that time. Now you just stay in my mind. But you know, the things that sort of stays in my mind, it just brings back. You see, I was brought up then too, and the people I knew, like your daddy, you know, that wore the hat and took it off at mealtime when I went to bed. You know, now you see that that just brings back just so much.
I could see him now, how he'd go to bed. He'd go in there and sit down on the side of that bed and he'd be standing for the And he'd put his pants on and he'd put his shirt off and then he'd turn his cover back. And then he'd reach up and get his head put that in the bed.
Yeah.
That little old fella, I don't suppose, would have weighed over 115-120 pounds.
Oh?
He was small, yeah. And you couldn't tell where his beard had no division in it. It was just like something over his thing, just a little bit where his nose is, you know. Like that, that's all. And
I imagine it had to keep the mosquitoes off of him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he'd need something, wouldn't he, to keep them mosquitoes off
of him. They said he had him a little house built back there, didn't he?
bags over that. And did you know a mosquito won't light on?
Oh, what?
These old feed sacks.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep a feed sack around there nowhere so you get it, you know, go in the swamp and stay a week, you know, and come out.
Yeah.
And they take them in there and make them a tent with that, with them bags.
No, I never heard
and,
that.
And said mosquitoes didn't bother.
Won't light on one of them coca sacks.
And if they'd have been any malarial in that swamp, people couldn't have lived in there, you know, and all.
But, yeah.
You could drink that water anywhere in there you wanted to.
Yeah.
And had a lot of iron in it. That's the reason, I guess, that there was no malarial in it.
Huh.
And, you know, I got into something. I don't know if I ever told you about it or not, but orders for good lumber was hard to get. high price then was $70, $60, $75, $80 a pound. And I'd sold Atlantic Tank Corporation in New York $105,000, taking 105,000 feet of lumber. That was a lighter load after it got to New York. It was loaded on a lighter head plant. And you had to ship them that much, 105,000 feet, not any less. Well, they cut this stuff, and I suppose about 10% of my actual cut was that kind of lumber for a second tank. And put it on skid right out back of where the boiler was, and a tailpipe where they blew out the boiler about twice a day, you know, to blow it out, keep it clean. And we carry that, haul that lumber over the railroad and stack it, you know, let it be as light as it was. We did get 105,000 feet of it to ship it to Jacksonville, load it on a boat to New York, and then take it off the boat, put it on a light and carry it to plant. And I went over there to load this stuff, thought I had about enough. And I went over there to load it. Every piece was solid hard, no sap at all. And first and second is supposed to carry a certain amount of sap on the edge. Tank doesn't carry any, but it was old tank. I know that was just impossible. I'd never seen anything like that. So I stopped loading it. And I went to Waycross, and an old man inspected lumber for that Edward Cypress Company for 20 years. And I told him I wanted to go up there and look at some lumber. I didn't tell him what was wrong. What had happened to it. I didn't say nothing. I wanted him to go up there and help me hour or two and inspect some of that lumber for me. So he went up there and he said, well, says I inspected lumber for 20 years. Said, I never seen nothing like this. Says the prettiest lumber I ever taken up, the best lot of lumber I ever taken up. Says, I haven't seen a piece of sap on one of these pieces as big as a pencil. Well, he happened, he went on. Bill
Acree.
That wind hit me.
Bill Acree. He's been with the railroad. He's been a lumber inspector fairly all his life. A good friend of mine. And told him, I said, Bill, I said, come down here and I want you to look at this cypress I got back there. He looked at it, he said, it's pretty to me. He says, I never seen nothing like it. He says, there's no sap on it at all. He says, it's old heart. I didn't say a word. I told him myself, if I couldn't tell him. And this inspector that's inspected cypress alone for 20 years. And Bill Acre had been inspecting all kind of lumber all of his life. I says, if we three can't tell it, I says, I'm shipping it. I shipped it. Boy, I got one of the nicest letters back from that company that was the prettiest shipment of lumber that they had ever got. And it was this iron water that was in that boiler that blew over that stuff.
Oh, Phil.
That's right. That's right. And I shipped this stuff, and I don't think there was... Did you see that?
I'll bite an idea.
They wasn't in 105,000 feet. They wasn't 1,000 feet of first and seconds. And the rest of it was straight tank.
He found a book the other day that he had. You know, the government cut them out, that specification on lumber.
Uh-huh.
And he said they don't even have that now.
No.
But he found one of the little books that he had.
And I was anxious to hear from it after I shipped it, you know, to see what they said about it. And boy, they said they never had no lumber like that. And give me another order for 105,000 feet more. But I moved that bad gun. I turned that tail of that boiler the other way. So I blew it out the other way. I didn't risk that no more.
Oh, shoot. Well, I hate to move. I could just stay here all evening.
Stay with us. I'll let you have cooked supper. I got cooked up that bunch of hedgings when they
oh,
come.
Oh, you
up.
Have? Now you are.
Their aunt's got a new automobile, and she's carrying them to Gainesville.
Oh?
She says, when I get back, I'll bring them to you. I said, yes, so I got cooked supper for them. Is that it? So their mama's got my ice cream. So when they come, I'll have some beef for them.
Yeah.
I don't mind cooking lunch, but I do hate to see cooking stuff at night.
Too late in the day.
Yeah, too late. I'm always tired.
But,
you know, by the time that comes, and I just don't want to do it.
Well, you know, I find that these days are so full, and that generally there's something to do. I never get to sit down.
Yeah.
And by night time, I.
Not as long as you want that over yonder, you won't either, huh? You'll find something to do. You may not do it, but you'll sure find it.
The fence may be down where you can step over it.
Well, they're pulling out. That thing, they brought a load out here, and then they went back to town and then come back. So I don't know where that house is going to hold the furniture or not.
Lord, Lord. And also, you may find a fence down where they can step over. They just have to step over it. It takes me a good while to get out there.
If I won't do it unless I have to. We got one we can butcher. We got one cave up there. If I have to move it, can I carry it over to your house? I want to eat it.
Yeah.
I won't do it unless I have to. Let me do it.
It's been ringing. Quit now. Quit now.
It's one plank left up there and went to feed it, and the little thing was about stalled to death.
Yeah.
And we went to feeding it and tending to it, and it's up going about that high now. And if he don't make us now, you know, if he says something, we'll have to move it. But we got two up there, but one of them we can soon butcher. And this other's not ready to butcher. And so. I don't want to get in their way. Fast as horse said.
How about his way?
He died of my
That's what I asked Cub. I said, Mabel, I said, what you're gonna do if the man wants you to take your cash from up there. She said, well, I said, one of them said, we'll send him and have him butcher. And says the other one says, I can't move on. I said,
as long as there's grass over there now. Yeah.
I said, well, I said, what about, I said, maybe he don't want that cattle. He said, oh, so that's all right.
But I'm going to tell you, he last year he told me, oh, well, we need some more meat, we'll just buy some. Well, if you go to buying some meat that tastes like that you raise it yet, you just don't do it.
Yeah,
and I told him my freezer's been about empty now all summer.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to sell that calf. I said, I'm going to eat that calf, Lord willing.
You know, I thought...
The calf was, we give him cocoa and everything else to get him to go to the little thing where the guide.
Yeah.
And we were just doing it. We didn't intend to take the calf, but he come back in about 3 weeks, and he never would have the calf, so you just keep him. So you got a whole lot more than that calf than I have, so you just keep him. And I wouldn't know, I said, you take the calf. I said, you can sell him and get something for him now. No, I don't want to.
I thought they had tightened up on this beef so much that I didn't know just what the regulations was. But I was down there at Mr. Denny's the other day, and I asked him, and he said, no. He says, the old regulations still in effect. That go back to the war. That a man can slaughter... half a dozen or a dozen animals a year himself and sell it if he wants to. I didn't know you could do that.
No,
well,
you
now
can't
if you
can.
You can't kill the game, you can't kill one out here and catch the game so we get them to cut it up for you.
Now, the only way that you can sell beef like that is to head up there to some of these
Sunderland,
some of them people that butchers and all, and have them kill it, and the government has got a man there to inspect it, or the state, I believe it is, has got a man there to inspect it, and then you can sell it, but otherwise you can't.
Yeah.
Now, maybe what he was talking about, you can butcher one over yonder on your place and carry it down there to him, and he can cut it up for you without an inspection, but you can't carry it into Gainesville.
But it's against the law to sell it to somebody else unless it's
inspected.
Now
that's been inspected?
Yes, sir. That's state law. Yes, it's state law. They didn't I'm reading the paper here, that they didn't amend this law in Florida much, but there were so many of them that didn't have no law of code or toll. Kill anything, anywhere, cat, and sell it to anybody you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But not in Florida, and it hasn't been for a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but
we used to kill them here and cam up the bill and have them cut up. But that stopped.
Can't do that now.
And this other man out there,
Gretner,
killed them for us for a long time. And inspecting them, sent them over there, and sometimes they cut them up for us too, right there, and froze them. But now you can't do it. Now you can kill one here and kill down that man, he'll cut it up for you. But I believe it's against the law for him to do that. I believe it is. But
well, now he didn't talk like it, Phil.
I know he didn't. But nevertheless, that's it.
Well, I know good and well, you couldn't kill cows and get down there to him and sell it. It's just law to catch him.
Sure is.
I know that. If they catch him selling it, and government man come in there, and it hasn't been stamped and inspected.
Well, now, what I thought he meant was that if you killed a beef and wanted to let some of your neighbors have a part of it,
evidently, he'd do it do it, why he would still be, it would be against the law.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now, you could slaughter it if you wanted to and take it down there and he'd butcher it for you.
He can cut it up for you. They haven't passed that on him. Now, you used to do that in Gainesville.
Yeah.
You know, kill a cow, he didn't care if there, and they would chill it for you and keep it so long till it, cured.
Yeah.
And then they cut it up for you.
Yeah.
See, you can keep the cow about 2 weeks before you have it freezing.
Oh.
And,
well, I wouldn't want to take a chance on it.
Well, it's a pretty good law, too, because you've got, you don't want to eat nothing that's not any good.
No.
And I know some of the prettiest cows we ever raised up there died from that cholerium.
Yeah.
Well, they were fat. They were just as pretty and fat as they could be. Before we know that, before they died and all like that, if we'd have killed one, carried it down there for them to cut it up, and they don't care what it's done to you.
Yeah, you know, you've got that thing. Five in a hurry. That's another thing you can do when you buy hay. You can buy, of course, you can tell weeds when you're buying it,
yeah.
But they can sell you that old corollary too.
Yeah.
They sure can. Now, I don't imagine there's many that would. I don't imagine. But that's what could happen, you see. That's one thing that happened.
Well, read.
Do you figure, Phil, that you can tell good hay that's just good hay that's got some quality to it? Can you tell that?
Yeah. Smell it. Yeah, I've got some from Robert Williams up there. And it is good for a thing in the world. I want to make a bed out of.
Yeah.
Form, that's old. Yeah. It ain't no good. They eat a little of it because it didn't have nothing else.
Yeah, didn't
have
nothing.
It, but it ain't no good. Now that hay that I made myself give a whole ass,
yeah,
that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you that I didn't lose 10 pounds of hay.
Mm-hmm.
They ate it.
Mm-hmm.
They ate it and it was good.
You know this?
I cut it one day and left it out for that time, raked it up the next morning and hauled it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good, and you could take it and smell of it. It smelled sweet and good. Then you can tell the color of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's light color, why, it's generally good hay. Now, that hay we got from the fella.
Yeah.
Thing like that.
Uh-huh.
I imagine it had been cold enough on it.
Uh-huh. Well, come in here this morning and I smelled. I knew it was a rotten orange, and that opened
up.
It was one of them
great
big
furry
ones.
Unmolded. I wonder how that happened.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you can go in yonder, please.
I will. I just want to make one call.
Come around, God, have a seat. Just sit down the bed. Stay, it won't hurt us. Come on around, have a seat.
This
cow
will.
Come around, have a seat over here.
Oh. Well, I sit out here where I can see everybody. How much tracking did your man get done?
He got all this and down there by the chicken house. He got made a better job by the chicken house than he did yet.
Yeah, maybe there's more weeds and grass and stuff here.
That he might have went over it more often though. They seem to be nice people. I don't know now. You can't never tell them. They say you don't ever know nobody you live with.
No, you got to live with them.
Let me tell you, I get that TV guy.
Ed, he says, maybe as long as we in the flesh, we all gonna make mistakes. And that's true.
That lasted a week. They stuck that out a week. Lord help us. Patience of Job.
God, I guess I have been one of the fortunate people in the world not to have a lot against anybody or anybody against me. And I was telling Dorothy Fowler, we was talking about this old Miss Liddy Cruz. She was known as the queen of the Okanoka Swamp. She was raised there.
I've heard you talk about
her. History cares a lot about her.
And they said that they just, she most always, way back, toted a Winchester rifle.
Yeah.
And they said, from all I'd ever heard about her, was terrible, was bad, that she just shoots you for nothing. But
you heard them talk about her.
We knew her. We have talked.
And I bought her 490 acres in the Okanoka Swamp. And the only way to get to it was across to her land. I reckon about 2-3 miles.
Oh yeah. But now you used to get caught that way right in smart. I remember you talking about Mr. Boyd over here.
Well, it was practically the same thing. And people told me, he said, well, you just throw that away, say you can't get it.
Yeah.
That old woman will charge you much for a right of way across her land because you can't afford to get it. And one day going by then, I decided I didn't care if I got shot or not. I felt about that away. And I thought I'd stop to see the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And see what it was going to be, where I could ever cut the timber in there.
You seen her?
Yeah, I've seen her many times.
And so I stopped there, and she lived in a great big house, square top
one
house.
Steeple, you know, houses used to come up, you know,
and,
the top of
square top house. And long hole down through it, rooms on each side.
Oh, yeah,
porch
yeah.
around the house.
Yeah.
And I knocked on her door and she said, come in. And
now,
she,
where was that?
That was at her house up there, the old Okanoka Swamp.
In the swamp? At the swamp?
No, well, it was out the
edge of the
swamp. Edge
of it, yeah.
And
it was on the other side of folks at about 12 miles.
Where she lived was known as Race Pond. I don't know where it got its name. But we didn't want to live after her. And I went on in and went back there, and she was laying on a cot right in across the front of the fire. And I introduced myself to her and told her that I stopped there to talk to her, but I would come back some other time. And asked her, could I fix the fire for her? And I was sorry she's sick, and I'd fix the fire for her, and I fixed the fire. And she says, go ahead and state your business, says I feel all right. So I told her that I had bought that land. She knowed a whole lot more about it than I did.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. She knew well all of it was.
Oh.
And she said, well, she says you've got to have a road to get in there to get it. And she says, in cutting a road back there, says to cut as few trees, pines as you can. And I said, yes, we'll do that. And I asked her how much did she charge me for right away. Not a thing. Not a thing. I never was more. I expected to pay as much to go to get it as I had paid for the 490 acres of land.
Yes, okay.
Okeechobee says, going into the swamp, says there's about a half a lot that belongs to me before you get to yours, and said, I wish you a familiar with the first place of the
pulling off her hand, and the truth that she's got in the strength of her hand after a year of fighting, too. So, I've kicked out the 102 feet survivors, 105. And, next day, she sent them, they were talking about the good man person. And I didn't know what to say about that number or not. But I didn't put up three credits back.
You hadn't lived here all year. It looks like everything you get into, you find isn't kick out of it. Now, you think this tree business you were talking about, you know, more I found out about that, the less I want to buy the hay. That's the tree.
Well, you say that buying it, but I've got it in a very famous story.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine. And you take
it. Yes, I'm fine.
And get done. And you can take it and smell of it. Well, I didn't know. And he says that you don't have to. I had people with boys, you see, they just put them on the other and, you know, and just cut it all down.
Yeah.
And it's cut down. They're coming down and then, yeah, and lay on it and lay on it. I don't know, that's crazy. Really? Really?
But you said you left it from there.
It did. I'm saying, pass and turn. I was sitting there using the telephone. I forgot to pick it up.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to get off the telephone. I couldn't.
Well, they didn't want to see my trailer that I've
from my family on it. They had fried chicken and barbecue. Then the cheese. And any kind of cookie and pie, you can imagine that it was fried. And so we would have, they'd have some, you know, different things I said to me, but I never seen one of them.
Thank you.